We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
Get it, Timmy!
Oh, this is how the Brewers play defense. Yeah, that's how it is. It is a final from Chicago, everybody, and the results are not good. It's a Brewers 6-2 loss, and welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #Admirals50. Tim Allen, no Baby Tausch, no Gary Ellerson, no Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, no Leroy Butler, no Jeff Orlowski. It's you, my main man, Della.
How you doing, Timmy?
It's more important how you are, and not very good today for me.
No.
We need to shake some things out here and get your reaction on a Brewers loss here. Suddenly, after the electrifying win just a scant 5 or 6 days ago on Saturday night at Miller Park, this team has lost 4 of their next 5 games, and the offense continues to struggle. They are really, you watching these games, Brewers fans, I know you are, does it seem not like they're, okay, they're trying. I can tell you that. But doesn't it seem like they're playing offense under pressure right out of the chute, first or second inning? It seems like it's the eighth or ninth inning to these guys. We're going to run through some numbers here coming up in just a bit. Want to get your reaction here. The state of the Brewers now with a 57-54 mark as they fall in game one of this 3-game set. Offense continues to struggle. Pitching, sort of hanging in there. Well, again, we're going to throw some numbers out there at you coming up in just a little while, but I'm trying to decide whether this little funk that the Brewers are in or the situation as a whole at just 3 games over 500. Just 3 over 500. Is the situation developed from a lack of pitching? And you can separate the starters or the bullpen. Or is it simply because of circumstance? There's a lot of injuries here. There's a lot of slumping here going on. You had Jesus and Travis Shaw just couldn't get out of their own way early on, coupled with the injuries, coupled with some decision-making on who they were going to sign in the offseason or not in the offseason. Or is this all on the offense? I have an answer for you. I want to get yours because they're only 3 games over 500. In it? Yes. They certainly are. They are in this thing. But something's going to have to turn around real quick. But since Saturday's electrifying victory, they've lost 4 of their next 5. And that's not good. They lost the final game against Chicago last Sunday. And they lose 2 out of 3 in Oakland. And they lose game 1 here down at Wrigley. The final score, 6-2. 414-799-1250 as the offense musters up a couple of runs. And just a few issues in this game. Quintana, I don't know if you caught this. Did you see Quintana doing his thing? That kid's got a little bit of an attitude now. I don't know if you caught it. He was due second up in the inning. I want to say it was the third. Second, I'm sorry. He was due second up. And he was standing in the dugout, not in the on-deck circle, not with his elbow guard on, nothing, no preparation to get in there. He was feeling himself today, that's for sure. And he should, because he does well. He performs well against the Brewers. Other notes in this one, Ryan Braun. He continues to hit well at Wrigley Field. A couple of hits, including a double, a home run, a couple of runs scored. He's doing his heavy lifting on this offensive side. But Mandela, I'm trying to figure it out, dude. You try and help me figure it out. Is this hole dug because of the offense? Because it is a hole. We're, and don't get me wrong, they're in it. But they should be way ahead of where they're at right now. Should they not? They should. They're underachieving. As a team, there's no question about it. They are. But is it because of the offense, the starting pitching, or the bullpen?
I think it has to be the offense, right? There's so many horses in that stable, relatively speaking, to the other parts you just mentioned. The offense, we can definitively say, is underperforming. The pitching staff, I think you can really only say, is underwhelming.
Pitching staff has been, I think, okay. They have been okay. Now, the numbers in that bullpen are starting to become a little bit of a concern. I will say that. And that's why David Stearns, at the deadline here, did go out and make an attempt to improve that bullpen. But the offensive numbers for me, I mean, look at a game like today, wind blowing in at Wrigley. You weren't going to have a slugfest today. A lot of deep fly ball outs. And God bless Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle on the call, but I don't want to hear excuses. I really don't. I like both those guys. I really do. I would consider both of them friends of mine. But man, come on. You start launch angle, you start launch pad baseball, and you know full well the wind is blowing in, and you're not going to get what you need. And that's a home run hitting team, not getting home runs. It's not going to work. It felt like there were some excuses going on. I'm going to make no excuses for this team. This team doesn't put the bat on the ball enough. They don't get base hits in the hole. Two of them for Chicago today. And I'm not saying their offense is anything special, but two base hits in the hole fielded by Arcia. He had to eat the ball. That's what happens when you get balls in play. And this team tends to either launch angle to step off the track. Well, he just missed it. Good. You get a gold star. You get a merit badge for that one because you just missed it. Wow, just a fracked quarter of an inch. Missed it by an eighth of an inch. And then these other guys are getting base hits after hitting just choppers on the infield, getting a ball in play. 799-1250 as the Brewers fall 6-2 final in this one. And 57-54 overall mark. And now pending St. Louis, are they off today?
St. Louis with the day off. They had have a series with the Athletics coming up.
This is a rare Friday off day in baseball. That hardly ever happens. So they're off, and the Brewers fall to 2.5 back. And just hanging on the fringe there. However, tomorrow, I'll stay positive in this regard. Tomorrow, I'm about as close to guaranteeing a victory as you can possibly be. So if you gamble and bet money, I'm in. I'm in for the Brewers win tomorrow. 799-1250. I took some notes here during the game. Spark of the game, by the way, we're going to go with Ryan Braun. A couple of hits. He's doing his job as he normally does at Wrigley. Spark of the game with Current Electric. Your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. I am slowly morphing over the years, as you guys know, to on-base percentage. As you guys know, I fought it. I think a lot of people fought that stat. OBP, 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 OBP. Everything's get on base, avoid outs, get on base. Okay, I'll buy in. I'm starting to buy in. I'm not fully in, not 100% in, but I'm starting to. If you can't hit the runners in, then what good is it? If you think about it. I'm not totally against it. Still a batting average guy. But when you have a .251 batting average for Lorenzo Cain. Okay, fair enough. You've got .332 out of Christian Yelich. Keston Hira, good job, young man, .318. Yasmani Grandal, .256. You couple that with Lorenzo Cain. In the 250s. Let's see here. Ryan Braun, doing your job, .272. Moustakas, .260. Orlando Arcia, .231. Travis Shaw, .155. These are batting averages. Eric Thames, .248. Ben Gamel, 248. Manny Pena, 204. Think about those batting averages. Just get the ball in play, guys. To me, I blame the underachieving on the offense here. There is no way this team shouldn't be better at scoring runs. I don't understand it. As a team, they're hitting 247 as a team. And that's nice. Isn't that nice? That's ninth in the National League. Ninth in the National League with this lineup, with Yelich and Grandal and Kane and Braun. You add Keston Hira into that mix. Mike Moustakas. How in the world is this team in the 240s with the batting average? We'll get your reaction here. A Brewers 6-2 loss today as game one goes to those guys down at the neighborhood dump in Chicago. 799-1250. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim Allen, Anthony Mandela alongside today, a Friday edition, and the Brewers fall 6-2.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Here's Ryan Braun. He's hit four homers against Quintana in his career. And that's hit well out to center field. Hayward going back, looking up, and Braun's hit five against Quintana. And we are tied at one.
Well, they love him here at Wrigley. Boy, he has been a one-man wrecking crew against the Cubs in this ballpark. He likes hitting here.
Yeah, welcome back. There's your Wrench and Go drive of the game, as heard on Fox Sports Wisconsin. There was not much to cheer about. It was that run scored off the bat of Brawny, and Manny Pena knocks in a run late. And that was a fielder's choice, all part of a 6-2 loss here. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Tim Allen and you guys at 799-1250. Not to say the season's done. We went through that last year. Or yesterday, right? We went through that. Yesterday we talked, it's not done. There's no done clubs. Don't check any of those boxes. But we all could agree that this team at 57 and 54 now, just three games over 500, is underachieving. I mean, they are, despite all the challenges that they've had this year. What do we account for this? Who do we blame on this? Blame is a little bit of a tough word. I know a lot of people don't like to use that word, want to play the blame game. But who would you say, which department hasn't been doing their holding up their side of the bargain here? I say it's the offense, and the numbers bear that out. You're going to have to score runs. The team was built to score runs. These guys were signed to hit the baseball, and they're not in any form of consistency whatsoever. They're going to have to get hot. Are they capable of getting hot? They sure are. They are. But again, you could make the argument there's a bigger window of time that says they won't. You could make that argument. I'll accept it. I just think there's something in this team that will get the offense going. We're playing nail-biting baseball from the first inning on. Guys, it's like pulling teeth to get these guys to get a crooked number up there. When they don't get a two or a three-run home run, man, it's just not happening for them. They scratch out a run, they scratched out a run against a reliever and scratched out a run off the bat of Brawny off the starter. Manager Craig Counsell said it in Oakland just a couple of days ago. They're going to have to score some runs. Play with the lead occasionally. Come on, guys. Ay, ay, ay. Let's fire things up here with Ryan in Oak Creek. Ryan, you're on the fan. What's happening?
Yeah, I need somebody to tell me, what doesn't David Stearns get? I mean, he had like 3 or 4 years now to go after a pitcher, and this is ridiculous. Allowing 6 runs to the Cubs.
So you're blaming. So you're going to blame for the underachieving season thus far. You're going to blame the pitcher, right? The pitching.
Yes, because we don't have no pitcher. I mean, I would go if I'm the other team. I'm pitching every pitch that we could have had against that we could have gotten. I'm pitching against us. I mean, there's a reason why Quintana's going at, why Joe Manning's going allowing Quintana to pitch against us every game.
I'd do the same thing. So would you. You'd do the same thing.
It's ridiculous.
No, but you'd do the same thing. Now,
the starter.
Okay, so you blame the starters. All right, we'll get to that.
Yeah, I actually blame David Stearns for not getting a starter. That's what I blame.
Yeah, but you don't have one now. You've got what you've got, and that's what you have. And you got to roll with these guys.
That's David Stearns' fault. I mean, go after a starter for once in a while. See.
Okay, see you later. Speaking of starters. Zach Davies. Now, these are all numbers coming into today's game. All right, so take that for what it's worth. Zach Davies, 3.56 ERA. Chase Anderson, 3.73 ERA. Gio Gonzalez, 3.48 earned run average. Yolish Chacin, okay, bumping the road, 5.79. Brandon Woodruff, 3.75. Hauser, 3.99. All of these guys under four, don't tell me that that's not doing the job as a starting rotation. It's not lighting the world on fire, but those numbers are fine. You lost a game one in Oakland, 3-2. You put up a whopping grand total of two runs. You win game two in that series. You put up a grand total of four big runs. And then you lose 5-3 yesterday. Grand total of three runs, two runs, four runs, three runs, nine runs in the series in Oakland. That's obviously, I mean, you could do this math. Anybody could. Three runs a game on average in the Oakland A's series. If you put up 14 or 15 runs in that series, you sweep the Oakland A's. You sweep them, and it's over, and you're running and rolling. Today, two runs. So the last four games, you've lost three of four, and you've scored two runs, four runs, three runs, and two runs. And you're going to blame a 3.5 ERA by your starters. Bullpen, a little different. 4.64 for Jeremy Jeffress. It got worse today. Alex Claudio, 4.00. Junior Guerra, 4.06. Matt Albers, 4.17. Freddie Peralta, 4.79. Now that's combined. I'll give him that. Josh Hader, 2.58. Jay Jackson, 6.23. I mean, there's some issues in the bullpen. I got you there. I'm not buying the starters are the issue here. 799-1250. Marshall, you're next on the Fan.
Well, good afternoon, Tim, and I want to just thank your call screener for putting up with me a little bit, but you've taken the words out of my mouth. I couldn't agree with you more and your analysis more. When I saw 5-1 in the sixth, I'll admit I was in and out of the game today. I've been busy, but when I saw that and my eyes about rolled, I said, man, come on, guys, this is the Cubs. Can't you get up for that for today, do better than this?
It looked sloppy. There was three errors.
Run in the second.
Three errors. Yuck.
It just was awful. I mean, this is a big series, guys. Come on, we got to get. You know, if we don't pick it up here in the next, and I told your call screener this, if we don't pick this thing up in the next 10 games or so, we're going to find ourselves out of it. We cannot. I always tell people, and you cannot win in the division in early August, but you sure can lose it in early August. And if this thing doesn't pick up pretty soon, I hope you're right about tomorrow, Tim. I'm kind of with you there. I think we can win tomorrow, and we need to win tomorrow. You know, three games above 500, somebody is going to get hot eventually in this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be a race to the bottom here forever, as it seems to be at times. But I think the Brewers certainly have the capability of heating it up. No question. We proved it last year.
Yes.
But I hate to say it right now. My brother and I were talking about this earlier today, and we both kind of agreed that if I had to bet money in Las Vegas right now, I'd go with that team to the South, unfortunately. I just think unless, as you said earlier, the bigger window suggests that they may not get hot enough. So that would be my call right now. But yet we're in it, and mm-hmm. we have a chance tomorrow and Sunday. And the Pittsburgh, I think we are going to do well in Pittsburgh. I think the Pirates are heading in the wrong direction right now. But yeah, the hitting has to heat up. And the thing that kills me is that we have the personnel to do it. It's been done before.
That's the crazy thing. That's the head scratcher out of all of this. How do you look at a lineup that is comprised of these names like this?
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that? I don't understand how they're not scoring runs like that. It's baffling to me. It really is.
I think they have to play a little bit of small ball and get the ball in play. I know Craig is averse to the bunting, but at least, as you said earlier, get the ball in play, because you get the ball in play, oftentimes good things do happen.
They do. Marshall, thanks for the call. I'm right with you. I do feel good about tomorrow's game for whatever reason. You got a gut feeling? Maybe it's your bowels loosening up, but or it's the opposite. You just have a good gut feeling. Is it the offense? Is it as easy as that? I say it is. Now, again, that's not discounting some of the issues that are going on in that bullpen, because there are. They're trying to find themselves. It's somewhat cyclical in a bullpen throughout the course of a long season that there are some peaks and valleys, and they're in a little bit of a valley right now. The trend offensively you like to see is putting up runs late, and as of late, they've been doing that. So it does run in cycles a little bit, but I think there's more to go on this offensive conversation. You feel that the underachieving 2019 thus far, and I think the underachieving word comes in for me at a 57-54 mark, just three games over 500, through these first 4 months of the season after this loss. I mean, you could say results-oriented business. So how did we get there then? How did we get to the only three games over 500? I say it's the offense. Been saying it for a while. Guys, you got to hit the ball. Just get the ball in play. Marshall just said it there. I've said it before. You're going to have to hit the ball and stop playing so tight. It really appears to me it's official that they're feeling pressure and they're getting tight. You know, all the terms, squeezing the bat, all those things. It sucks. The offense right now, and they'll probably tell you this too. Do you believe it's the offense, the starting rotation, the bullpen? Maybe you say all three. We'll get more of your reaction here. Milwaukee County Correction of the Game, brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. In this one, I would correct, he pitched Drew Pomeranz in this game. I would have held him out for tomorrow's game. Do mop-up duty here. Yes, it's four runs in the ninth inning, or in the eighth inning. It's four runs. He did have a couple of punch-outs in that inning. It was nice to see. Well, that's my correction in this one, as Pomeranz found himself in mop-up duty. There's a guy you traded Mauricio Dubon for, and you threw him in essentially a mop-up duty role today. 414-799-1250, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Brewers fall today. Game one of the three-game set, 6-2 final.
Where did things go right? Or, not so much. Where did this game turn? Time for today's Turning Point of the Game. Sponsored by Great Lakes Dragaway. Check out all the events and track rental info at greatlakesdragaway.com. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Tim Allen getting your reaction here on a Brewers 6-2 loss, game one of this three-game set at the Neighborhood Dump down in Chicago. And I don't know if you caught this on the flagship broadcast, but they're getting into the narrative of they were talking about the wind blowing, getting a little chilly and things like that. And they said, well, the wind shifted, and there was like the fan. And Lane and Jeff Levering were talking about, maybe it's the fan up top. They must have had a ceiling fan or something in there. And, and Jeff goes, maybe they finally cleaned it. So they might be getting into it as well. Turning point in a Brewers 6-2 loss. I'm going to say it's lining things up to have Quintana pitch again against this team. Mighty success against the Brewers head-to-head throughout his career. I don't blame them at all for doing that. I think it's absolutely brilliant. You line it up that way. You do it. You would do it. You would do it. And I would do it. There's your turning point in this one. He just has something going against the Brewers. And offensively, the Brewers are scuffling. And is it all on the offense? I say it is. I do. I'm going to step up for the pitchers. Turning Point brought to you by Great Lakes Dragaway. Jim, downtown, you're next on The Fan.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about it, and sure, they definitely are underachieving offensively. But when you talk about the pitching, it's not just ERA, it's the number of innings that they're pitching. They right now do not have a starter who can go more than six innings, maybe even more than five. And as a result, that puts a lot of stress on the bullpen, and the bullpen is showing it. As far as I'm concerned, the real culprit here is David Stearns. Last year, they finished one game away from going to the World Series, and in the offseason, he did absolutely nothing to make them better. He let pitchers go, Wade Miley go, Xavier Cedeno go, and he made absolutely no attempt to replace them whatsoever.
Joaquin Soria went, Gio Gonzalez went, and now obviously he's back. You know, I will meet you in the middle here on the starting rotation. This partly is Craig Counsell as well, because he doesn't let them go further than these five innings. That's the thing. These games, and again, this is set up by the offense. Thank you, Jim. This is set up by the offense. Because these games are so close, that's why he feels the need that the highest leverage is in the fifth, sixth, and seventh innings. Does that make sense? The offense, put up a crooked number here and there. Run away with a win once in a while. 9-3. Run away with a win. 11-2. You just don't see them. And you don't see them at all. Every inning is a high leverage eighth or ninth inning. It could be the fourth. It could be the sixth. And so I'll meet you there that, yes, the bullpen has been struggling. And they are pitching a lot more innings than you would like. But on top of that, they are game-changing high-leverage situations. So it does work in tandem. The starting pitchers, the offense, allowing the starting pitchers to get on a roll and pitch from being in the lead. And that just takes so much pressure off that guy. It takes so much pressure off Craig Counsell to go ahead and let these guys roll. Get in a rhythm. You can be a little more aggressive at the plate. You can hit your spots a little bit more. You can, not every single pitch, it seems, this season is just such a game turn. You were talking about the turning point with Great Lakes Dragaway. I think this season, every inning is a turning point. Does that make sense? Let's talk more. 414-799-1250 as the Brewers fall here, 6-2 final. Let's go to Matt in Minneapolis, listening on the radio.com app. Matt, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Tim, how's it going?
I've been better.
Yeah, right. All right, so first off, Brian from Oak Creek, wasn't he in the Dunn Club yesterday?
He was. He said he wasn't going to watch any more pitches.
Right, so why is he calling back?
I know. You cool down a little bit and get back into it.
I know, but be a little more positive. I mean, this is getting sickening listening to the show, and I don't know. But second of all, who's the leader on this team? Who's the vocal leader?
Vocal leader, that I don't know. But I think there's lead by example guys in Lorenzo Cain for sure. And Ryan Braun is a lead by example.
Right, but this team needs a vocal leader. They need Hernan Perez back. I don't care if he's hitting 220. They need some kind of cheerleader, I guess. I don't know. I know it's the big leagues, and I know this is the highest level of baseball, but this team looks dull.
I wonder, Matt, I know baseball isn't sort of get so fired up before a kickoff of an NFL game where the window is, hey, man, make hay. You got this play. Make hay on this play. Baseball is a little more calm than that, but I wonder in the last few years, and I'm not huge into going on a tirade, a manager's tirade or whatever. I think once in a while, it is warranted? Is it warranted yet here?
I think so. They need a backup shortstop, honestly.
How can the how can the hitting coach be not ready to just lose their mind behind the scenes? I'm not saying doing that in front of us and pulling a Trevor Bauer, or who is the other pitcher that destroyed some, Porcello destroyed some monitors in the dugout. But I'm not saying that, do it in public. But behind the scenes, I wonder if it's time for someone to lose their mind.
I don't know if it's a closed-door meeting or what, but this team looks dull. I don't know. After that Braun home run, it was like, yeah, there's a couple high fives, but nobody's jumping around. Nobody's doing the gauntlet. Nobody's, you know. It just looks like another day at the ballpark. I don't know.
Yeah, So to answer the question, is the underachieving thus far at 57 and 54, and I'm not saying they're out of it, just they have underachieved this year. Can we all agree on that? But why? Offense, starters, bullpen.
I think it's a combination of everything. I mean, you talk about it at the beginning of the show. They're putting themselves behind the eight ball every single game by giving up three runs in the first inning or one run or, you know.
That's true.
I mean, how many times this year have they given up three runs in the first inning?
Yeah, go back to that Red series. They were up three-zip, two-zip, three of four games.
Exactly. And I don't know.
Okay. All right. It's tough. It is tough, and it's frustrating. It is. Brewers suddenly have lost four of five. Let's go to Joel. You're next on the Fan. What's happening?
Okay, so I'm not a baseball guy. I'm like more of a basketball and football guy, but I'm a sports guy. And what I know and what I've seen is David Stearns knows what he's doing. So whatever this team is, it's the best they can be. And what I know, in my opinion, is that it's an overreaction. It really is. So there's 162 games. In my opinion, they're going to make the playoffs. David Stearns knows what he's doing. People call in and, like, that's just the thing. Like, Tim, you have a job, right? You're every day. So, like, you have to. You have to do this. You have to embrace the overreaction of people.
But I'm just like that, though. I mean, it's just not a job for me. It's what I live as a Brewer fan.
You're the biggest fan. So
yes.
I get it. Like, and yes, you're the biggest fan. But, yeah, at the same time, you know, like, it's just what it is. Like, the Brewers are going to be fine. And David Stearns knows what he's doing. Just like John Horst with the Bucks knows what he's doing. I feel the same way with the Bucks GM. Like, I really feel as a Wisconsin, like, sports fan, we're in a good spot here because the GMs for all three teams, they know what they're doing. In my opinion, we can put our faith in them. And, yeah, we're going to lose games, of course, but we just need to understand, like, hey, it's going to be some ups and downs. But for Brewers, as far as how they are currently constituted, it's what it is because you can't go out and get the really big-name pitchers. So in free agency, people might have been mad that we didn't get whomever. But they're going to be fine, and that's my opinion. Just relax, and 162 games is the end of the season. They'll be fine.
I like it. I like it. And I do agree with you with the GMs in the state. I definitely agree with that. Joel, good call. That's a good call. And that's a call from somebody that isn't through the everyday grind of baseball. But it is a grind, and it is frustrating when you're living it. And I've been through the grind since I've been 8 years old. I've been acting the same way since I've been 8 years old, like a child. I've been accused of eating like a child. When it comes to Brewers baseball, I'm like a 16-year-old on his first date. You just lose your mind. But that's the way it is, though, and a lot of people are with me on that. But, Joel, I get it, that there's ebb and flows of any season. In basketball, you explained to me how the Bucks lost to Phoenix like they did this past year. You explained to me how Aaron Rodgers doesn't have another Super Bowl. And you explained to me why David Stearns didn't go out and do whatever you wanted him to do. There are disappointing points in all three sports, in every sport. But I'm a little nervous here. I'm getting a little nervous because I'm not seeing an uptick with an offense that we all know is underachieving. We all know that. If it's an ebb and flow of a season, I understand it. Like the bullpen. I think that's just a natural cycle that they go through. But this offense, has it been clicking yet this year? I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure it has right from the start. Getting more of your reaction at 414-799-1250. Babe, you Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim Allen, Anthony Mandela is here. Evan Heffelfinger, yes, that's his name, is here as well in a Brewers Game 1 loss to those guys. 6-2 final.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, 6-2. Brewers fall in game one of this three-game set down in the neighborhood dump, also known as Wrigley Field. This portion of the program brought to you by Baby Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Get to Adam McAlvey in just a second. Want to get Mike in here. Mike, offense, starters, bullpen.
It's the offense. These guys are, they're not, we've got the same guys, but they're not in the same place. But we added a few guys here. I don't know, how did that rookie do the other night?
He had a sack fly.
Okay, well, Council's finding out who he can, who can do what, and soon he'll start putting it together, making the stretch run. And the guy who just called, man, how eloquent.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
He was good, and he was to the point. And I don't need to say everything. Council will put it together, and let's hope Kane starts
well,
the bat.
It's not solely Kane, Mike. I got to turn you loose here. We'll get to Adam McAlvey on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Adam, a lot of conversation about the offense, and they certainly are underachieving. Why is it that the names that these guys have, Grandal and Moustakas and Kane and Yelich and all these guys, why isn't it a more consistent offense?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, that's the question Craig Council was asking a lot in Oakland when, they got the good starting pitching. I think the story of this week is that a pitching rotation that was down to two guys and was really kind of a hot mess there for a couple of days kind of has come back together, and Jordan Lyles isn't, the Madison Bumgarner or Marcus Stroman or Trevor Bauer, but he came in and did a really nice job in his start. Adrian Houser did a really nice job in his start. Chase Anderson gave him a quality outing. That should lead to more than one victory in three games. And Craig Council was saying that if, they need to just put some crooked numbers on the scoreboard in some of these games and take some of the pressure off and, not have the margin for error for Josh Hader and company in the pen be so minuscule. So, look, Craig Council has asked that same question. Andy Haynes has asked that same question. David Stearns, all of their army of analysts with all the data at their hands to figure out why this offense hasn't produced the way they think it should, and they don't have those answers either. So I'm not going to pretend that I can answer that. But the bottom line, as Council said, was they got to be better. I mean, that's the offense is definitely one of the issues for this team.
Yeah, and I heard that conversation you had with Craig Council in Oakland about just that, and it really has a ripple effect on his decision-making. Adam, you covering the team for a long time, and we've had our conversations over the years, certainly, but have you seen a season like this that it feels like it's high leverage in the second inning? It's weird. It is so weird. It's almost like a playoff game every single night.
Well, perhaps it's partly a function that they don't have, Grinky Markham Gallardo at the top of the rotation.
True.
They're doing it with, it feels a little bit like it was down the stretch last season. That's not always by design. I mean, they'd like to get depth, length from these starting pitchers, and they haven't got it in a lot of games. But you know, maybe because they've had issues throughout the season with their starting pitching, I think that can kind of contribute to it. And again, offensively, they're just not putting up the sort of numbers that they expected to put up. And if you dig deep, the two that kind of stand out to me, well, three, I'll say. One, they score the highest percentage of runs by a home run in baseball. I don't know that that's a big surprise playing at Miller Park. That's been sort of how this team has done it for a couple of years, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. They are among the worst. I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but for a long time they were the worst at hitting with runners in scoring position, which the guys who are really smart about this stuff and study it from year to year say that can be kind of a fluky stat from year to year. It doesn't necessarily tell you as much as you think it does. But the one that stands out to me is they're the worst team in the National League at scoring runners from third with less than two outs. And that's just a matter of being able to put the bat on the ball, being able to deliver a productive plate appearance when you need to at a big point in the game. They've not been able to do that, and I think that qualifies as a surprise because other than Kefton Hira, they're not playing guys who have no experience in the major leagues. They're playing a lot of guys who've been in this league a long time and are the sort of players that you think you should count on in those types of plate appearances, and they've not got it done. So, look, the answers are elusive. If they had it, they'd fix it. But it's one of those things that they're certainly trying to get better and sort of waiting almost for this offense to perform the way it's supposed to based on just the players they have and the way they expected this to go down this year.
Well, we'll move on from the offense here after this one. And I'm not advocating for this at all, but do you think there's been some heavy language behind the scenes on at some point everyone has their breaking point? But again, I'm from afar, and you know I follow every pitch and the whole deal. This offense is grossly underachieving, and I just wonder if anyone's lost their mind behind the scenes or someone's going to.
Well, if they have, we haven't seen it. I mean, like, we haven't walked in the clubhouse and there's tables tipped over, you know, coolers. We haven't seen any cooler damage. I think, didn't we see one of those at Miller Park on the other side last week? And didn't Javi Baez do that? I'm not always watching the broadcast. But didn't Javi Baez do some cooler damage at Miller Park?
Yeah, and you did see Travis Shaw earlier this year do a little damage with a bat. But
look, my experience in this, and I'm certainly not, I've never played at this level that these guys play, but my experience tells me the absolute worst thing you can do, especially on the offensive side, when things are going bad in the game of baseball, is to scream and rant and try harder. It's absolutely the worst thing you can do, and it is the most counterproductive thing. This team, and you almost see it, is best when it's loose, when it's smiling, when it's having fun.
Yep.
Now, does that come because it's happening in games that they're scoring runs, or are they scoring runs because they're taking that mindset into games? I don't know. But I can just tell you that, you know, team meetings and frustration and destroying the Gatorade cooler is not the way to get it going, in my humble opinion.
Okay. I would just say this, that, yeah, it might be the worst thing you can do, but it certainly bears the conversation of the last thing you might do
going. I feel like they've tried things, you know, they've done some lineup shuffles.
Yeah.
They demoted Travis Shaw for a time. I don't know, you know, he's not performing again. And look, it's the same conversation of how long you give him before you make another decision. Trent Grisham's up. That was a big time surprise move to Grisham himself. They've shuffled some things in the lineup. They've gotten treatment for Lorenzo Cain when he was hurt. You know, they've taken steps to kind of get it going the way it's supposed to go, and they've just not seen the results. So your point is taken that at some point you've done everything you could do, and maybe it just feels good to let out a little frustration once in a while. we saw a little bit of that with Yasmani Grandal that game. He was ejected, but it didn't necessarily have any effect for the rest of the team that he was hoping.
Well, on a positive note, the starting rotation, I'm defending those guys. They're doing their job. Overall, yeah. Collectively, that rotation is competitive. If the offense gets them to pitch with a lead, hey, they're going to start stacking up wins here, and it's going to lay off that bullpen as well.
Well, I mean, that is a good thing. They've got some stability there. I think there is a fair question to be asked. Is this a World Series pitching staff and pitching rotation? If the goal is to win the World Series, which is what everybody talked about coming into the year, after you get within a game last year, they made some decisions at the start that, you know, we talked about with David Stearns the other day, sort of revisiting the decision not to pursue and sign Wade Miley, to more recently let go a guy like Smiley that they had in their minor league mm-hmm. system. But, you know, basically to make the fundamental decision not to pursue a top starter via free agency or trade, and they feel like they have the innings to cover it. David Stearns said the other day when he was, you know, we asked him flat out, do you feel like this is a playoff rotation? And he said yes. So that's the bet that they placed. We'll see whether they're right, but I think it's certainly fair to ask when you look at what other teams have, especially in that rotation compared to what the Brewers have. Is it sustainable that the kind of the good stuff that happened in Oakland, for example, can you do that series after series after series with, you know, Jordan Lyles and Chase Anderson and Adrian Houser and Davey's going through a rough patch now. So I don't know. But, you know, they've placed the bet on the arms that they have, and I guess we're just going to see whether it's good enough.
Yeah, I wish I had more time with you, Adam, as always. Josh Hader conversation. Boy, July has not been friendly to him. 11 appearances, 5 homers given up, over 5.5 ERA in the month of July. I would love to have that conversation with you next time, all right?
Yeah, well, look, he is the most fascinating guy, maybe in baseball. He's really good. The only way to score off him is to hit a homer.
Yep.
And he's in a spot right now where he's giving up lots of homers. So I don't. If you want to change him, fine. I don't think they're going
to. I just want to have him against thumpers waste the first pitch. That's all I ask out of Josh Hader.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, he's not a guy who necessarily always knows where it's going.
Okay.
So it might be one of those easier said than done sort of situations.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, Adam. Always a pleasure, man.
All right. See you guys.
There he is, Adam McKelvey, MLB.com, Brewers.com, joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. A company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
You didn't have as many chances in this game, a 6-2 loss, offensively as you did yesterday. I mean, yesterday, well, that one takes the cake against Homer Bailey. 10 men left on, 1-for-9 in scoring position. But are you kidding me? The offense puts up 2 runs. That's it. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. See more at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Craig Counsell, he's going to make his comments here, and I just wonder if the offensive conversation is going to come up with him. We'll hear from him next. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Mill Hockey. We are hashtag Admirals 50 here on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, another tough one. They need to turn things around, and can they do it? Well, we're going to find out. Another 1:20 first pitch tomorrow afternoon. And before we hear from Craig Counsell, let's go to New Berlin and say hello to Mike. Mike, you're on The Fan after a 6-2 Brewers loss.
Hey, Tim. can you hear me? I just took you off speaker. Sorry, I was waiting to get on. Hey, Tim.
Yes.
I'm joining the Dunn Club. Sorry. I almost joined during the All-Star break because I know how this season's going to end.
Well, they're 10-10 since the break.
Yeah. Look, Tim, you know the game of baseball probably better than anybody I hear, you know, for this team at least. The name of the game is pitching. It always has been. And if you want to win a World Series, you have to have it. And just humor me and tell me if you agree with this statement or not. I have been contending that last year was the Brewers' best chance to win a World Series. And I really believe it was. And in this offseason, and I heard a couple of other callers allude to this, and I feel the same way. They didn't need to go out and get necessarily a Madison Baumgartner, who he hasn't even been pitching that great,
right.
his normal stuff. But we didn't need to go that route. We needed to get just what every other team considers an ace. Because what we here in Milwaukee consider an ace is somebody else's 3 or 4 normally.
Definitions are blurry, yep.
Yes, yes. So having said all that, If Stearns, instead of getting, we needed hitting too. I'm not going to knock him for getting Grandal necessarily and bringing back Moustakas, but we still, in my opinion, had enough money to get a couple of decent pitchers that can go, you know, more than 5 or 6 innings. And if we had done that, I think we'd be talking a lot different right now. We might have separation of 10 games over Chicago and St. Louis right now. I'm not saying it's, you know, etched in stone, but after last season and you know, like you said earlier, the few pitchers that we let go, you know, I just don't get it. I am a novice at best, and this team really, even whether it's Bud Selig or the current ownership, we just never get the kind of pitching except for back in 82. And we're still talking, in my opinion, 82 is still the
20,
standard.
Let me just a couple of things, Mike. I'll keep you here, and then we have to hear from counsel. But 2011 certainly had a legit shot, like last year, to win the World Series, right? Because,
yeah,
I mean, they were outstanding, too.
Yes.
But heading into last year, the 2018 run that they got on,
mm-hmm.
weren't we having the same conversation about the starters saying, well, where are they?
Yes,
and it did work last year. It did.
You're right. You're right. It did. It did. But after the season was over, and I knew this after last season was over, people, not me, but and I'm not trying to say I know everything, but I knew people were going to be saying, okay, same thing with the bullpen next year. No, you don't repeat that kind of thing 2 years in a row. I think we can both agree on that. So, at the very least, you had to go out and get 1 or 2 frontline pitchers. That's what I'm saying. You know, lightning in a bottle was not going to strike twice with this staff that we had, and they wanted to bring some of the bullpen guys as starters, and we see that didn't work either.
I think this will fall into your dialogue here. I think it is, if not the biggest mistake David Stearns has made with this organization, it's second, for sure.
Okay.
And that is opening up the 2019 season after what you went through last year, poised, ready to win a World Series this time, taking the next step, not only getting in, but winning it.
Yes.
The biggest mistake he made, probably in his career here, mm-hmm. is allowing Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burnes, and Brandon Woodruff to be 3/5 of your rotation when you were poised to win a World Series. That was a big mistake.
Agreed.
And that's where you're getting to, that they didn't go out and sign at least one ace that was considered and defined as an ace throughout baseball, not just here in Milwaukee.
Exactly. And what you've been saying, getting another reliever. I think we needed both those things.
They did. But, and it was that close, and at the end of the day, he might look back and say, oh, man, we just two guys, starter and a closer once Corey went down.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
Yeah, you got it. You got it, Mike, anytime. It's a great conversation. Craig Counsell, after the Brewers fall in game one of the 3-game set in Chicago.
The first guy hit a homer, he just looked like it was a battle every inning after that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he just didn't have good location today. I mean, the pitches just had a hard time finding, you know, the edges of the plate, which he needs to live on. And, you know, there was just too many balls in the middle of the plate and too many counts, falling behind in counts, especially early in the game especially. So, you know, he can't pitch like that. And when he falls behind or, you know, gets a lot of the middle, then, you know, there was a lot of hard contact today.
Because he, you know, just pitches on the margin so close and he has such narrow margins for error. I mean, do you feel like he's close to what we saw prior to the last three starts?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a, you know, with any pitcher, and Zach's no different, is, you know, it's execution, and he has to execute pitches, so, it's always close, I mean, but, that's what these guys do. I mean, you have to be, the way Zach pitches is it's a fine, you know, it's not going to be overpowering, so it has to be, the command and the location has to be there. And when it's not, he's going to have a tough time. And I mean, that's his struggles and success are, that's the reason for it. So there's no reason he can't bounce back from it, yeah.
Even as a guy who pitches to contact more, does the six homers in his last three starts concern you a little bit?
Well, it's just a byproduct of bad counts and bad location, you know, so... If he doesn't have location, he's going to get hit. And that's Zach Davies. He'll tell you that too. So he's got to make pitches, and he's got to be ahead in the count to, you know, to get, have the hitter defend multiple pitches. First instance the pitch was down, probably middle, but it's 2-0, and it's, you know, you're sitting on a fastball.
You said in Oakland that you guys aren't doing enough damage to starting pitchers, and same thing today.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we swung the bats okay today. I really did. It's, you know, we just didn't, you know, we couldn't put any runs on the board, unfortunately. But we had some good swings today. We just, you know, just didn't sequence it well.
Is Quintana any different from what you guys had seen from him in
no.
the past?
No.
You just had that one inning when you had double in the single. That was really the only time you had, like, multiple. You know, like, inning to do some damage, no outs, and throw in the seventh. Just,
yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, they brought in Wick, and he did a nice job. But, yeah, that was, you know, we had hit some balls hard. Moose probably got robbed of a homer. You know, the caught stealing the first was probably 3-0 to Yaz after that at some point. So it was... You know, there was little things. It wasn't a lot of traffic out there, but you know, some guys swung the bat good to no results.
Nice to see a clean inning from Drew today.
Yeah, good start for him. He threw the ball exceptionally well.
Another kind of tough inning for JJ. I mean, he's just struggling to pitch clean innings, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he made a bad... The curveball to Baez was a bad pitch, and after that, I thought he threw the ball really well. I mean, the next inning, the bloop double was, you know, bad fortune. I thought the sinker was pretty darn good today. I think you give up a leadoff double, and that's a good chance that's going to score. So... we got the ground ball. We just couldn't turn it on who was it, Baez. So, you know, I did think there was some positive signs. The curveball has been a pitch that's eluding him a little bit right now, too. So we got to figure that out. But I also thought there were some positive signs.
Kind of a tough start to the trip, huh, Craig?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't do enough today. I mean, the last two games in Oakland were pretty well played games. The three games in Oakland, I thought, you know, we played pretty well. We didn't do enough today, both sides.
Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union, Local 113. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org.
Yeah, a little sloppy as well. No offense in this 6-2 loss, game one of the three-game set. And just looking at some of the numbers, I'll just give you a couple of highlights here. One highlight, one low light. Ryan Braun, multi-hit game, scores a couple of runs, both of those Brewers runs, and has a home run his 16th on the season, had a double as well. And the low light would be Zach Davies, 4 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, pair of walks, pair of strikeouts. And the final 6-2 here, Brewers 57 and 54 mark. Hey, Keston, that sloppiness, when you've got to field the ball, then speed up your actions. Davey Nelson taught me that many years ago. Broadcaster, Fox Sports Wisconsin, former big league player, former big league coach. And speed up your actions once you get the baseball. Then once you get the baseball, you can't throw it to someone 42 feet away. I hate to get on Keston here. I know it sounds simple, but I know when I was throwing a baseball around, I could throw it at least within a 6-foot circle, 8-foot circle of where I want. In fact, when I was throwing snowballs at cars as a kid, Anthony, I could throw it into the window, not just hit the car.
You know, I've known you, Tim, for about 3 years. I've never heard a story of you behaving in your childhood.
Right. Good packy snow, and then just go for the...
Got to be the wet stuff.
Go for the window, not just the side of the car. All right, the Brewers fall 6-2 final. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50 here on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Boy, Zach Davies, you talk about an important start. It's his next start. He got lit up today. It just was not working for him. 4 innings and allows 7 hits, 4 earned runs, a couple of walks, a couple of strikeouts. Who got lit up? With Heiser Automotive, it's your day at Heiser.com. A little forward thinking with our friends at Ford Financial Partners. Get more details at FFPWI.com. It's game 2. Gio Gonzalez. You need a good start from Gio? You might not if the offense, you know, carries the load here tomorrow. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show is going to get you ready for game 2. Presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. And after the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll meet you right here in the postgame studios. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame. Presented by the Milwaukee Admirals, we are hashtag Admirals50. Thanks to Evan Heffelfinger. Yes, that's his name. Heffelfinger. For Anthony Mandela, my name is Tim Allen. Maybe tomorrow we'll get an update on Baby Taos, who is in Las Vegas as we speak. We'll do that and more tomorrow. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow after the ball game. And despite the outcome, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.